Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Vitality Health Show. I am your host, Stephanie Parrish, the voice of hope and healing. We're so happy to have you here with us on this beautiful day. We first want to thank our sponsors. Without them, this show would not be possible. We're so very grateful for them. So take a minute, listen to our sponsors, see what they've got to go for you, because there's some really, really cool stuff. Really, really amazing sponsors that we have on here. Also, if you have any questions or comments for me, please send them to contact at myvitalityhealthsolutions.com. Again, that is contact at myvitalityhealthsolutions.com. I'd love to hear from you and take any opinions or anything you'd like to offer me or talk about our fabulous guests. So give me a call back or text me or email me and let me know what I can do for you. Anyway, we have got a great show today. I'm super excited about this. This is a friend of mine that I've known from St. George for quite a while. He is a brilliant, brilliant doctor. We've had so much fun over the years that we've known each other. I don't even know how many it's been a long time. But this is Dr. Scott Norda. He's a DO, and he does just the most amazing things. And it was funny because when I moved up here back to Idaho, one of my first clients that I had come into me, she's like, well, I have to talk to my doctor first, and that's Scott Norda down in St. George. And I'm like, buddy. So it's pretty cool. So welcome, Scott. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's a pleasure. Pleasure to reconnect. And I think it was about 7 years ago that we met. So
I think you're probably right. Wow. Yeah. Time goes by so fast, doesn't it? It's just crazy. So we're going to go ahead and get started, because I would love to you to tell our audience kind of what brought you into doing what you're doing, and how you started all these things that you've started. It's really a fascinating story. I really love it. And P.S. I love your wife, Amy, and your family. They're all so amazing. And you have got yourself surrounded by just really great people, and your staff. Everybody is fantastic. So thank you for sharing all of them. And we're going to go ahead and start with you. Go ahead and tell us kind of where you came from, what you're doing, and how you got into doing what you're doing.
You bet. Yeah. So I studied functional medicine, I studied family medicine. My initial plan when I was in college at BYU and studying neuroscience was to be a neurologist or a neurosurgeon. I loved the brain. And then as I went through medical school and residency, I realized that my passion was brain health, but what the neurologists and neurosurgeons were doing at the time didn't quite fit me. And so I went into family medicine so I could really connect with people on more of a longitudinal basis and help people make changes throughout their life and throughout their family. As I finished up residency, I realized it wasn't exactly what I had hoped it would be, meaning I got very little time with patients. In order to make money, they train you on how to be efficient. And what that ended up being was about 7 minutes per patient. And to be able to make a meaningful change in somebody who has diabetes or chronic disease in 7 minutes just is not possible. And so I found that I just couldn't do what I felt like I needed to do, what I was called to do. And so I looked around, found a place called Doctors Making House Calls in North Carolina that allowed me to get out of that environment for a time and be in people's homes and assisted living centers and memory care facilities. And it was really in that setting when I again started to question, what are we doing for people in chronic disease? We have lists of pages and pages of medications they take that do prolong their life, but are we really making a meaningful difference in quality of life and in prevention of the progress of these diseases? And in that setting, or at that time, is when my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. So I actually got a call from my mom one day that said, hey, I was at a four-way stop. And this was close to their house, as I pushed on the gas to take off, I saw a car coming the other direction across and didn't even see the stop sign, just blew through it. I slammed on the brakes, was so upset. And then I realized it was your dad driving that car. And that really was a turning point for me. Yeah. So that was our first big scare. And he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease shortly thereafter. And so I just started to question, do I have the answers to deal with and effectively help people with chronic disease and help people prevent chronic disease and especially Alzheimer's disease? I had studied neuroscience. I knew all the things that I could know about Alzheimer's disease and that, at that point in my life, and I had nothing to offer my own dad. And so it was really a time when I decided, hey, I need to go back and learn more, and looked around, found the Institute for Functional Medicine. I found Del Bredesen and his research at UCLA that was had just recently been published, showing actually reversal of early cognitive decline. And so, yeah, we ended up moving away from North Carolina, came here to Utah, and kind of jumped into this functional medicine world, which for your listeners that don't know what functional medicine is, it's really trying to get at the root cause of chronic conditions and trying to correct them, fix them, or prevent them by using nutrition and lifestyle and the things that our body is meant to use for natural healing as much as possible. So we go into that research in Alzheimer's disease. And over the next several years, I've been working in functional medicine, but also in the background, trying to put together this brain program at first to try to help my dad. But I realized the research was just too much and his case was advancing too quickly. And so he ended up passing away about 2.5 years ago. But
I'm so
what it
sorry
did
about
for
that.
Me, yeah, thank you. And it was tough. It was harder to watch him go through it and watch my mom go through that. But it's always tough to lose somebody that you love. And so I wanted to make that meaningful, not just to me, but to everybody around. He was an amazing man and I wanted his life to mean more. And so, we've really dedicated that time and attention to using his, process as a motivation to find a way to prevent Alzheimer's disease, not on my own. Of course, I'm not brilliant enough to find out on my own how to treat Alzheimer's disease.
But, it always takes a team, doesn't it? Always takes a team.
Always. And so really combining the research of brilliant people with really great people around me, especially my wife, Amy, to help kind of put that into a process, learning how to take research and then break that down into like, what does that mean I do today to make a habit to change what I'm doing so long term I can start to reverse or prevent cognitive decline. And so that's what we did. We created this 6-month long program that just breaks all these lifestyle changes down one step at a time. And we found that it's almost impossible to do on your own. You need somebody right there with you. And then you also need a health coach kind of walking you through the process. So that's what we did. And we also do other things in functional medicine, but the brain is certainly my passion.
You know, I love that. And this is something that I've always been very impressed with you, because this is where I come from the holistic world with the hyperbaric oxygen and the light therapy and the microcirculation therapy. And that was one of the things that first connected you and I, and just giving people the opportunity to know that there is an alternative to medications and surgeries and all these other things. And that if you give your body the right tools, your body knows what to do with it. And that was something you and I connected on such an incredible level, because we get to see miracles happen all the time, right? And to be able to do that and go, this is how God meant your body to work. This is what we need to help put into your body, because this is what God created, and then see what your body can do. And that's, we're both on the same page that way. And I've loved that so much about you for so long, and Amy and your whole people that are surrounding you, because it's very refreshing to find somebody that will understand and listen and really gets the body and gets what has been created for us. So thank you. Thank you for that knowledge and the incredible, incredible work that you are doing and have been doing all along. And I'm really sorry about your dad. I just lost my mother too, just a few months ago too. And so it's difficult whenever we lose somebody that we love, and it's difficult, but we also do the best we can with what we have, right? And we make it work, and we praise and are grateful for the time that we had with them.
Right.
And yes, we know we've done everything we could do to make their lives better. Right.
Right.
And then for us, then for us. So let's go on and talk a little bit about your brain lift. I think that's a great, a great name. And this is something new for me, just in revamping with you and reconnecting with you and learning about this brain lift that you're doing, which I think is fascinating what I've been studying so far. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So that was the program I was talking about, where basically we took years of research and broke it down into daily tasks. And what we found, there are a few things. Let me just kind of give you the overview of what the program is. So first of all, when somebody's going to make a meaningful change in their life, especially a major switch in nutrition and lifestyle and kind of moving forward, right? A lot of people go into nutrition with the thought, like, I'm going to go on a diet. Well, that's not the goal here. Our goal is to say, here's how you should nourish yourself and nourish your mind for the rest of your life. And so to make that type of change really requires a change in mindset. And so we start the whole program really diving into, like, what is your mindset? What limitations do you set on yourself? And how do you see yourself and identify yourself? And let's start to put this into a positive outlook and create the person that we want to be, right? So let's first look at, what is the future that we want? Who do you want to be with? Who's there? What kind of life do you want to be living? What is your brain like at that point? And then we say, now that's the person, that's the life that we're going to keep in front of us. And what do we need to do step by step to create that and make sure we're living that life? And so we break it down. First month is nutrition, and we're going to dive deep into nutrition. People think, well, I know I need to eat healthy. Okay, but we're going to break down, like, what exactly does that mean?
What is that exactly?
Yeah. So, like, okay, we need to eat blueberries, but why do we need to eat blueberries and blackberries and raspberries? We talk about, like, the specific nutritional benefits from each food and how it relates to your brain, what it does as far as antioxidant benefits and anti-inflammatory benefits, and how it interacts with the nerve signaling. And so we talk through just each different food. We do a color challenge in there because we find that a lot of people just fall into a rut of eating the same foods all the time. And so in order to increase that, because we really should be eating 30 to 40 different plants every week. And for most people, that's shocking to them. And so we do a color challenge where we say, okay, today we're going to do red, and you're going to eat all these different things that fit within the red category, and then all these different things that fit within the blue category, and really try to stretch people nutritionally to increase the amount of food they eat. With nutrition, we love trying to focus on the positive things instead of just saying you can't eat this and you can't eat that and these things are bad. Yeah. Of course, there are foods that are not good for you, and we try to minimize or eliminate those, but we try to keep it positivity focused. And so we name it the five F's. We kind of cheat a little bit, but five F's are the five main F's, and they're actually six now, but it's going to be healthy fats is one of those. So a big thing that Dr. Bredesen and his team found that is, if you can really fuel the brain with healthy fats and utilizing ketones to fuel the brain, that really minimizes the risk of, like, insulin resistance and high blood sugar in the brain, helps energy, give the nerve cells energy. So healthy fats is one of those. We use flavor, meaning herbs and spices. That's a big one. If you can get so much anti-inflammatory and antioxidant benefits from fresh herbs and spices. And so we do a lot of that. We do fermented foods. So you want to really work on the gut and building up the gut microbiome. There's such a gut brain connection.
Yeah.
And so it's important to focus on that. We do phytonutrients, which is our cheater F. It's really a pH, but that's it. And that's, again, the same thing. We're getting in lots of plants. So it goes along with the other F, which is fiber. we're getting in a lot of different plant sources, healthy grains. And so that's a big part of what we do. The other F that isn't included in that is we do talk a lot about fasting, whether it's intermittent fasting or prolonged fasts. It's hard to match the health benefits of fasting, and you don't spend money to fast. You actually save money. So a lot of people complain of eating healthy costs too much. Well, it doesn't.
It doesn't fast. You don't have to pay anything. I love
you can
it.
Save money.
So, okay, Scott, we're going to take our first break right here because this is a good place to let that absorb into people's brains for a minute. When we come back, we'll talk about those again, especially the very expensive intermittent fasting, right? Something that is so hard to do. It's actually really not that hard to do, but we'll be back in just a few minutes. Everybody stay put, and we will be back in just a moment. Welcome back, everyone. We are so excited to be here with Dr. Scott Norda. He is just one of my good friends. He's been a brilliant, brilliant man, brilliant doctor for a long time that I've known for a number of years. I think we were thinking it was about 7 years. And then when I moved up here to Idaho, one of my first clients I had here said, oh, I go down and see this really great doctor down in St. George. His name is Scott Norda. And I'm like, okay, it's my bud. Anyway, so we're just talking about nutrition right now. And he is so great at teaching people what their body needs that God created for them. And I love that you have been saying over and over and over again in your description of the 5 F/6 F's with a cheat F in there and talking about the good quality, there's so much crap out there right now. There's so much junk out there. We have to be so very, very careful of what we're getting into and what we're putting in our bodies, because we may think that they're really good, but boy, you read those labels and it's not. So what I'd like to do is have you go over those 6 again with us. So all of you listening at home, get your notebook, your papers ready so you can take these down. And then we're going to have Scott give his contact information as well so that you guys can get hold of him if you would like more information. So would you review those for us one more time, Scott?
Of course, yeah. So the first F was fats, meaning healthy fats. So we can dive into just a couple of those real quick, but healthy fats is going to be like olive oil, nuts and seeds, avocados, olives. Those are just some of those healthy fats. So
okay, can I break that down with you real, Scott, real for a second, yep. Because you said the healthy fats, because for a long time we have been told all these other oils were great for us. And now we're finding out absolutely they are not. And so true. We have to be super careful which healthy fats we use, right? Make sure they are healthy fats. They're not just fats for the sake of having fats in your diet or cooking with or whatever, right? So that was one of the comments that I wanted to bring up, was that you keep saying healthy, healthy, healthy. It's so vital to make sure that they are healthy fats. And natural, and not with sprays on them and all this other junk on them, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and how they're processed is so important. So vegetable oils is probably one of the most common things that we still see people using. Just get away from them. They just are so problematic. Their sourcing is bad. The way they're processed is bad. They tend to be pro-inflammatory. So just stay away from vegetable oils, canola oil. All of those are going to be, less than ideal.
Great. Okay. Great. Next one.
So then we move on. We're going to do fiber next. So again, this is going to be, we'll kind of combine this with phytonutrients, the pH, as many plant sources as you can get into your body. So fiber helps us regulate our bowel movements. It feeds the good bacteria. It helps control our blood sugar. And with phytonutrients, meaning a whole different variety of fruits and vegetables, the more colorful, the better. It's the color that packs in the antioxidant benefits. And so really, orange squashes and blueberries and blackberries and all of the deep greens. If you can only eat one type of food in a day, it's going to be vegetables, really, if you have to pick something, because they are packed with the most nutrients. And as we look at the research on Alzheimer's disease, they tend to be the number one thing. So when I think these six F's, it's really like, I look at my meal every day, every meal that I eat, and try to think, how many of these six F's can I get into the meal? Or one of the F's is fasting. So that's easy to get in if you don't eat, of course. But
so if you were going to choose one or two of the best fibers, what would you choose?
I would probably do something like maybe asparagus is a really good one.
Love that.
Because it's also going to be a sulfur-rich vegetable. Cabbage is a really good one. If you can combine things here, so you get lots of good fiber from cabbage, and then if you do it as sauerkraut, then you also get the fermented benefits, that another F in there, fermented foods. So fiber from cabbage is a really good one. And then some other starchy vegetables are great, like jicama is one that a lot of people don't eat a lot of. That's a really good prebiotic fiber. So that gives you a few to choose from. So yeah, that would be the phytonutrients. The next one is flavor. So that's the herbs and spices.
One that of was my probably favorite, the biggest thing, right? It doesn't taste good. No one's going to eat it.
And it's so easy to get in. It's just that we don't do it. And it adds so much. We call it flavor because it truly adds flavor to your meals. It makes them more exciting. You can add multiple different herbs and spices into your meals in creative ways. So we're talking with herbs and spices, right? Like I walk out my back door here and I'm going to pick some basil and some of our rosemary and some of our thyme and some of our parsley and oregano, right? Those are all packed with so many nutrients and anti-inflammatory, antioxidant benefits for the brain and for the body. And then we're talking like turmeric and cumin and black pepper. So adding those spices into your meals just really not only spices it up and adds flavor and fun, but it packs powerful benefits for the body.
And one of the other things with that is it's quite easy to grow too. And even if you're in a small apartment, you can do grow lights. You can grow your own. You don't need to have a huge area. We've got a pretty good garden this year, and it's been really fun to go out and process all of our own spices and our own things. It's been so fun. But even if people don't have a lot of space, they can grow this stuff and they can just keep plucking it away and it'll keep growing back and just keep using. And then you know where it's coming from. You know that it's good and it's fresh and you can use that, and you know that you're going to get the benefits from it that are supposed to be there. Is that correct?
Yes, so true. Yes, yeah, it's easy to grow in just like a window grow box, or you know, even if you live in a cold place, just use the sunlight coming in through the window and you can continue to grow stuff throughout the year. So,
yeah, I think that's one thing I really want to empower our listeners to realize, that they can do this. They don't have to wait for it to come around in the store or at the farmer's market once a year or whatever. Take control of it and do it yourself. Get it in your home, get it growing, use it. It's been fun because my husband worked in restaurants for years and he's always using all these incredible spices. I'm not a spice person, but I've become more of that. I mean, when we're growing it right here, it's awesome to be able to pull it out and go, oh, I just put that in there. We're going, ooh, I just made this whole thing from my garden, you know, and some of it's from our grow boxes in the house. So yes. Okay. Let's move on. Hey, next.
So let's just talk about fasting last here. Fasting is, again, I mentioned earlier, one of the most powerful tools that you have for overall longevity, minimizing risk of chronic disease, helping lose weight, control inflammation. Insulin resistance is a big issue out there, and metabolic disorder. And so really being able to make a difference there. Now, everybody is different, right? So some people come to me and say, I can't fast. And that's true for some people. And so we find ways to just minimize calorie intake in those individuals. But on certain days where we kind of rotate it, or we go to more of a ketogenic diet. And so we really dramatically decrease carbohydrate intake. There are a lot of different ways, and you probably need to work with an individual provider if you do have a disease process you're worried about. But in general, most people can fast. It may not be easy, but you can do it. And the more you do it, the easier it is. So there are multiple different ways. You can do intermittent fasting, like you mentioned, or another term for that is time-restricted eating. And that's basically like saying, I'm only going to eat in this time window during the day. So from like 10 to 4 or something like that. So if you did a restricted window where it was 10 to 4, 10 to 6, let's say, that's going to give you about an 8-hour window, 10 to 6, where you're eating. And you can fit in all three of your meals in that time. And then the rest of the time you're fasting, you're just drinking water and maybe some herbal tea. Maybe some bone broth if you want to do that, but you're mainly drinking water during that window. And some people will start with 2 days a week and then kind of expand from there. A couple keys with this, and then I'll talk about other fasting. One would be you don't want to eat within 3 hours of bedtime if you can handle it. That allows your gut to really shift into a healing mode. It allows your body to shift from the fueling side of building things up and always trying to take fuel in and break them down and metabolize to like cleaning out and clearing out debris. It's a process called autophagy, where our body naturally shifts to kind of house cleaning. It cleans out dead cells and dying cells and debris and inflammatory stuff. And it actually, there's a complex in the gut that actually starts all the way at the top and moves all the way down, migrating motor complex, that just cleans stuff out, but it doesn't do it if we introduce more food, and it has to be at least a few hours after we eat. So anyway, so that's a really important one. And then you can do another type of fasting. So for me, sometimes it's easier just to, with my schedule, to just say, I'm just going to go 24 hours and not eat. It's for a lot of people, it's easier just to not eat than to like eat less or eat only certain times of day.
That's true.
So for me on Sundays, it's easy to just say that's my 24-hour fast day. I'll drink water. And so Saturday evening or Saturday afternoon, I'll eat. And then I'm just drinking water until Sunday evening and then jumping back in. And it really is not as that hard. And then to get the ultimate benefit from fasting, really go in about 36 hours or more is where you get like the peak benefits, 36 to 40 hours. I have a patient right now, she's in her 60s and she's just on fire with fasting. And she is, she started at just intermittent fasting and then went to 24 and then 36. And now she's doing 3-day fasts and just can't get enough of it because she feels so good. So you don't have to do that, but there are a lot of ways to fast and the benefits are incredible.
Well, you know, it's so funny because as a kid, fasting was like a punishment, right? <It's> like, you yes. have to fast, you know, I just remember going, oh, I'm going to die. It's not going to happen. You know, I can't do this. And now it's a reward for our body, right? It's like, right. Thank you for doing your job. I'm giving you a break. You get to relax and not have to process all this crap I'm putting in there. So if we kind of change our mindset a little bit and think of it as a reward for our body and ourselves, a reward for us to be able to fast. And I'm not very good at it, but I'm getting better at it. And just rewarding our bodies for the good work that it's doing.
Love that.
So I think that's fascinating. Okay, so tell me with the fasting, how does that affect the brain?
Yeah, so I was mentioning about insulin resistance. So a lot of people have called Alzheimer's disease type 3 diabetes. What Dr. Bredesen's research discovered is there are 6 subtypes of Alzheimer's, and one of those subtypes is, they call it glycotoxic, meaning the toxic effect of too much glucose in the brain actually causes an inflammatory process that breaks down nerve cells, that starts that beta amyloid plaque accumulation in the brain and that whole process. And so what fasting does. Again, it brings in autophagy. It cleans out dead and dying cells and debris and allows our signaling pathways to remain clean and pure and efficient. It just cleans out inflammation and keeps ourselves really a lot more clear. And the other thing that you probably found this too, when I need to make a big decision, when I need to have like clarity, especially clarity from the spirit, I need to have my body take a break for a minute. If I go into something where I need inspiration and I'm eating and I'm full and my stomach's grumbling, I can't connect spiritually in the same way. And I think we find that with our brain as well as our spirit, that to have clarity and to have that connection with the higher power, really minimizing the effect of the body by fasting allows kind of that higher level of thought, higher level of inspiration. So that's it on another level too.
That's a perfect place to take our last break. So we're going to take a break real quick. We're going to come back and talk about that. I want you guys that are listening to dwell on that. Give yourself, your body a break and just let it relax so that you can have that spirit and that ability to feel and hear and not worry about the grumblings in the stomach or, you know, what are we going to go fix? Or we've only got 20 minutes to do this. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss the rest of this. Welcome back, everyone. We're so excited to be here with Dr. Scott Norda. He is an amazing, amazing doctor. He's a DO. We've been talking about fasting, intermittent fasting, all the different kinds of fasting and what it does for our body, our mind, our spirit, everything. It's a full, whole body, mind, spirit experience when you give your body the right tools, which is giving it a break also from all of the crazy that goes on in our life and our world. And we're talking about his program called the Brain Lift. And so I'm going to go ahead and let him finish taking that over. Like I said, we were just talking about fasting, the different types of fasting and how we've got, it's so vital to give our body a break from the world. Just like everything else, right? We just need to calm our bodies and our minds and our spirits. And that's the best way to do it. You don't have to worry about fixing dinner. You don't have to worry about what's going to go in there. You don't have to worry about if it's going to make you sick. So let's go ahead and finish talking a little bit about that. And I do want to get into if somebody is taking supplements or things like that, if they're supposed to take it with food, do they not take it on the days that they're intermittent fasting or that they're fasting? How does that work? Because a lot of it says you must take with food if you need to. So that's something that's I wanted to address.
Yeah, we get that question a lot. And it actually depends on which supplement it is. If you have just a daily multivitamin and it doesn't have any like added sweeteners, if you're doing a gummy or something like that, you don't want to have that when you're fasting. You don't want to have anything that's going to raise your blood sugar, have calories in any way. If it's something that affects your blood sugar, meaning like a supplement or a medication that might bring your blood sugar down, you do have to be more careful with those when you're fasting. So often people will skip it when they're fasting. But most supplements we don't do when we're fasting. I usually have people take a break from supplements too when they fast, because again, unless their body needs kind of a little bit of support when they're fasting, sometimes we'll do like a ketone supporting supplement, but otherwise, yeah, supplements often we'll take a break from as well. And I just wanted to call out kind of a bigger picture thought, which is what we try to teach people around brain health about, really a longevity principle is that you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And what that means is our body tends to want to go to things that are easy. That's convenience foods. That's eating whenever we want to. That's being more lazy. That's so true. Shying away from things that are hard, right? So like one of the things that we see happen with Alzheimer's disease, especially, and I'll just use my dad as an example. So he worked for at Hill Air Force Base. And when he retired, he was already kind of losing his hearing. He was already maybe not interacting and socializing as much because of that. And then after he retired, you could just see him really start to socially isolate. And I see this so often with people when they don't feel as good and their brain isn't working as well. They start to socially isolate, which actually significantly speeds up the cognitive decline process. So other examples of ways that, so fasting is one of those ways, right? You get comfortable with being uncomfortable because it's uncomfortable to not eat, especially when you start.
Right.
And you're showing your body who's in charge, right? You're taking control of things. But another way that you can get comfortable with being uncomfortable is to do things like saunas. I know you know about saunas and infrared saunas. So getting hot in there and sweating out is part of that. And then the opposite, which is getting in a really cold plunge. Both of those release shock proteins. You get heat shock proteins from a sauna. You get cold shock proteins from a cold shower or a cold plunge that can really decrease inflammation, help your body make glutathione so you detoxify. It wakes up your brain, it increases your energy, it improves your mood, both of those things. Exercise is another way that you get comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? So your body doesn't want to, just naturally, you kind of just want to sit and not do a lot. And so you have to push your body to get stronger, to continue to exercise. And if you're doing the same exercise all the time, then you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable and switch it up and build up some muscle if all you do is a little bit of walking and cardio. Those are all beneficial, but you can add in layers that help your body kind of stretch. So exercise is a big part of our brain lift program that we do. And again, we dial in specific types of exercise tailored to the individual. We try to do a combination of stretching like yoga, you're working on balance, you're working on strength. If we look at all the different kinds of exercise as far as long-term benefits, actually strength training is one of those that has the greatest benefits because it increases your mitochondria in the body. And mitochondria means energy for the body and the brain. And so longevity is tied to muscle strength. We do things like I talked about balance, cardio, speed, agility, all the thing. We try to combine those. And then if you can get outside and get that benefit as well, then multiple benefits. So we talk about stress. There's good stress.
What?
And there's bad stress. Yeah. Have you ever heard of that?
No. What's that?
So there's, again, we're talking about maybe putting little, it's a process called hormesis, which is the body actually needs a little bit of stress to kind of keep us in that uncomfortable range so we continue to grow. But too much stress is not a good thing, right? So as we're constantly, if you're in a job, in a relationship, in a situation, in a mindset where constantly your brain is staying in the fight or flight response, then that starts to break things down. Your cortisol stays up. And so we talk about how do you bring that down on a daily basis? You try to break that fight or flight cycle by things like deep breathing and relaxation, and you can use essential oils and sunshine and all of that, but finding ways to break that cycle is so important.
Oh, that's so awesome. So before we finish here, I want to make sure I ask you your contact information for our listeners. So all of you listeners have been out there writing down all of these different F's, and the F that's not supposed to be an F, but it's an F. let's have you give your contact information, Scott, so that we don't forget to do that, because I want to make sure if anybody would like to reach out to you, they can.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you. So it's Dr. Scott Norda, N-O-O-R-D-A, and it's Resolve Medical is our practice. We're here in St. George. The phone number is 435-627-3500. You can call and set up a free 15-minute call if you want to talk over your situation. Our website is resolveutah.com, and I do reels on Instagram just about every day, and that's just Dr. Scott Norda.
I love those. I send those out. I share those. They are so wonderful because they're so simple to understand. And I love them. You keep them up. You're doing a great job. So that is in Utah. Now, if somebody is not in Utah, but would like to work with you, is that a possibility? Is it something can be done over the phone, or how does that work?
It is. Yeah, we actually do mostly virtual healthcare. So We find it works for best for everybody in this functional medicine world. We can do most things virtually. So we have people all over the country and actually all over the world. So that's fine.
That is so cool. I just love that because when you were first starting to do this, I think was when I met you, and you were just getting into all of this virtual stuff, which was so crazy. And now look where it's at gone. I love your videos. I love the things that you're doing. And I just love the fact that you were saying we work on each individual person because everybody's story is so different. Everybody's bodies are so different. Nobody's been through the same thing. And I love the fact that you direct that personally to each individual, that you figure out exactly what that person needs and help them work that through. So with the last couple minutes we have, is there one or two stories that sticks out in your mind? Because I know you've got thousands of them. Of clients you've worked with that you have seen just huge, huge changes. Anything that you can help share with our listeners?
Yeah, you bet. So let's talk about maybe two. One of them would be somebody who came to us. She was in her, in her 60s at that point, had traveled around the world a little bit, and kind of thought that she was eating healthy, and just started to notice cognitive declines. She couldn't think quite as clearly. Her memory wasn't quite as good as it was. Memory finding was an issue. She knew what she wanted to say, but couldn't come up with the words sometimes. I like her example because it brings out a few points. So she overall, again, was doing her best, but really started to notice a pretty significant drop, and the people around her were starting to notice that she was asking them to repeat things over and over again. So the first thing that we did was just really look at her labs. And for the most part, things looked pretty good. She did have a couple of inflammatory markers that were high. We found a genetic change that is pretty common in Alzheimer's disease patients, and that is the MTHFR gene mutation, that she wasn't methylating things well. That has to do with her B12 and her folate. And so we had to give her the right types of nutrients. She was vitamin D deficient, so we had to give her that. She had a high, this is an important thing to test, zinc and copper. She had a high copper to zinc ratio, meaning her body, again, wasn't eliminating toxins very well or even just metals. And so we used that to say, maybe we ought to test more. And we did a full comprehensive toxin panel. We didn't think she was exposed to a lot, but she had been living in a few different countries over the years. And we tested, and she had an incredible amount of toxins built up in her body. And she had heavy metals, she had mold mycotoxins, she had environmental toxins. What we found that genetically she did not eliminate toxins very well. So once one thing got in, then it basically opened the floodgates and overwhelmed her system.
Wow.
So working with detoxing was really big. So we helped add some binders. Again, we gave her the nutrients she needed. She got into a sauna and started sweating. She did some exercise outside. We gave her nutrients that really helped her body eliminate toxins. And then she did brain training. That was part of what we didn't talk about. But once you set the brain's environment to succeed, then you have to kind of push the brain. And so she did brain training using a program called Brain HQ. We do 15 to 30 minutes a day, and she is a new person. It's just incredible to see. She interacts with people in a different way. She walks with confidence. She did end up getting hearing aids. Her hearing wasn't great, but that really shifted her whole identity and personality and her trajectory of life, where now she feels like she can serve and give and be an active contributor in conversations in her family, at church, in the community. So that one's been fun.
Well, we don't have time for one more, unfortunately, okay. But that's exactly what I wanted to hear, because this is why it's so important to take care of each individual person, because everybody's so different. And I'm so impressed with how you do that. And you are so kind and considerate and concerned. And that's just beautiful. So give us your contact information one more time. We're just about done here. Dang it. Go fast.
I did go fast. Yeah. Dr. Scott Norda. The Instagram is just at Dr. Scott Norda, and Resolve Medical is our clinic name. You can find us at resolveutah.com or phone number 435-627-3500. We do free 15-minute consults.
Awesome. Scott, thank you. You're amazing. I hope our listeners will just get a hold of you and get this all figured out, because he truly does care and he wants to make sure that everybody gets the very best care that they can and get their bodies back to what God wanted them to be, because they can be. That's simple as that, right? So thank you again, Scott. Appreciate you. And thank you for all of our listeners and all of the support. We appreciate all of you guys, and have a beautiful, happy, healthy day.
Thanks, Stephanie.